Easter is supposed to be happy, but the story we just heard reeks of fear. To be specific, the guards fall down comatose with fear. The angel says to the women, "Do not be afraid." The women run away with fear. Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid." The words fear and afraid are English translations of Greek words with the same root, phobos. Read this passage in the original Greek, and the repetition of that root is more noticeable. A correspondingly better English translation would sound more like this volley: fear, don't fear, fear, don't fear. The English language continues to deploy the root word phobos. Think acrophobia, fear of heights, and claustrophobia, fear of confined spaces. Hearing fear as phobia may help you to grasp the underlayment of sheer terror that is intended here. Terror is not the first word that comes to mind when we think of Easter. But it makes sense on that first Easter, after what just happened and during what is happening. It makes sense despite the fact that of the four gospel accounts of the empty tomb, Matthew's is the only one that even mentions fear. This could be incidental, but Matthew is generally very intentional with his words. That Matthew emphasizes fear might lead one to conclude that fear was part of his community's original account of the story. Further, one might fairly suppose that fear was part of his community's ongoing experience of the story. If so, we might even understand that fear should be part of every Christian community's continuing understanding of that story. In Matthew, fear is part of the story, though it's not the whole story. The angel's instruction to not fear didn't stop the fear, but it did temper it. The two Marys left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. We hear that fear and great joy aren't oppositional. In fact, fear and great joy can coexist. Franklin Delano Roosevelt famously said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." As I prepared this sermon, it occurred to me that that's ridiculous. Matthew's gospel seems to say something very different. First, it normalizes and universalizes the experience of fear. Second, it links fear and joy. Third, it puts that linked fear-joy in conversation with the resurrected Jesus. Both the angel and Jesus say to not fear, but everyone knows that saying such a thing doesn't work. So maybe the immediate point is not to not fear. Rather, maybe the point is that faith helps us to not be limited to fear or limited by fear. Faith helps us to keep walking with one hand holding fear and the other reaching toward joy. The resurrection doesn't do away with fear or sadness or grief or any other emotion. If it did that, it would eliminate our experience of being human. We're not zombies. We don't want to be robots. God gave us all the feels, even the feels we prefer to avoid. Instead, the resurrection recontextualizes those emotions, moving them over from a terrain of despair to a terrain of redemption. In that redeemed place, death no longer has the last word, and neither does fear or sadness or grief. This is the landscape of opposition to death which is to say, it's the landscape of love. The landscape of love is the landscape of peace and justice and hope and, yes, joy. On Good Friday morning, I watched a live performance of J.S. Bach's St. John's Passion. It was streamed from St. Thomas Church in Leipzig, the church where Bach served for nearly 30 years and where he's buried. There were so many reasons it was like nothing I have ever seen before. The tenor was virtuosic. Participants included not only a small group in the church, but also choirs from around the world. It was beautiful and moving and perfect for this time. Near the end of that piece, when Jesus is on the cross, there is a chorale that goes like this. O human, act justly, love God and humankind. Then you can die without sorrow and need not grieve. The star of the incarnation, the shadow of the cross, the sun of the resurrection. Each part of the story of Jesus only makes sense in light of the rest of the story. Good Friday reveals the worst of human existence. Easter Sunday attests that there is much more to come. On Good Friday, love seems dead on the cross. On Easter Sunday, we see that love is victorious. Last week, I read an article in Religion News Service entitled, Fearing Courageously in the Face of COVID-19. What caught my attention was the phrase, fearing courageously. The article turned out to be about healthcare professionals who are continuing to show up for work despite the risk. Some of you are among the healthcare professionals who are fearing courageously. Looking at this from a Christian perspective, the article draws lines to the theology of Thomas Aquinas, medieval theologian. It says this. The medieval Christian philosopher and theologian Thomas Aquinas helpfully distinguished between fear as an emotion and fear as a way of living. The emotion of fear, Aquinas argued, is a good part of being human. We humans are natural and inescapable lovers. When we perceive something threatening to those whom we love, including ourselves, we naturally are afraid. If our love is healthy, then our fear is also healthy. That sort of healthy fear is not a sin. Rather, it's a sign of love. To love well in the face of fear, Aquinas says, is to be courageous. To be courageous is not to run headlong into the face of danger with no regard for the consequences, nor to deny or dismiss fear. Courage is not the opposite of fear. Rather, to be courageous is to rightly appraise danger and feel the weight of fear, and yet, even so, to stand firm and do what love requires. Among healthcare professionals facing COVID-19, many are afraid, but they press on because they have committed themselves to care for the sick and the vulnerable. This commitment to care, this love, does not remove their fear, but it fuels and sustains their courage. It might be helpful to think of emotions more generally as not just feelings, but also as ways of living. This time is a weird period of forced reduction, an almost monastic sort of paring back. in that paring back, reassessment is happening. And at the heart of that reassessment is love. What do we love? Who do we love? How do we love? Unpacking all this requires vulnerability and honesty. Fear and joy are both really about love. Maybe a life of Christian Easter faith is about courage in our fear and also about courage in our joy. Today, we will wish one another a happy Easter. We will probably be at least a little sad that we're not doing it in person. At the center of that sadness is the kernel of love that binds us together. Despite that sadness, or maybe because of it, I expect that we will mean our happy Easters like never before. Those two words, happy Easter, are actually a simple blessing. Therefore, offering them is an act of love. Therein lies the joy for the giver and for the receiver. Christ is risen. Happy Easter. Through the Paschal mystery, dear friends, we are buried with Christ by baptism into his death and raised with him to newness of life. I call upon you, therefore, now that our Lenten observance is ended, to renew the solemn promises and vows of holy baptism by which we once renounced Satan and all his works and promised to serve God faithfully in his holy Catholic Church. Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and renew your commitment to Jesus Christ? I do. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? I will, with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? I will, with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ and all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. Will you cherish the wondrous works of God and protect the beauty and integrity of all creation? I will, with God's help. May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sins, keep us in eternal life by his grace, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.